live from the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island. It's Cofield and Company.
It's Friday, gotta get down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend. Partying.
Yeah! Alright, here we go. I scared that guy. I do it every time. Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar, Treasure Island. Someone gets freaked out when I scream. Come on now. High energy time. Okay. We got the NBA celebrity game on. All-Star weekend. They pulled a switcheroo on us for college basketball. So we'll get you updated on the featured college basketball game tonight. The celebrity game is pretty interesting. They've got the Futures game, or I guess the Rising Stars, right? Your guy, Julian Struthers, in that one, he was kind of a late invite. That's cool. Hometown guy.
Yes. Notified the other day. We thought that he was going to be a replacement for Scoot, but Scoot's on the team. But I think he got brought up to the best team. So they have a good chance of winning it. More than anything, I was really happy for the fact that Lee Struther, Julian's dad, and his sisters, Paige and Paris, they were trying to figure out scrambling at the last minute, which you know how that can be last minute. Oh, man, we want to get up there. And then the Nuggets called and said, hey, don't worry about it. We got you. We're going to get you up there. And they took them. They're taking nice care of them. Yeah. So I'm just happy for them.
So far, and in what I've been able to watch, the celebrity game's pretty fun. It was a little weird earlier. They were doing, like, strobe lighting, but now they're running up and down the floor.
Should we do a show strobe lighting?
No. Okay. I think one of us would be done. I'm not saying this as a dig because this generally happens every year. And anyone out there who tweets this, realize what you're tweeting when you say, I don't really know anyone in the Celebrity All-Star Game. That means that's a you problem. Yeah. And it means it's a me problem. Because these are celebrities in some circles, mostly younger circles, right? So they're not going to have 60 and 70-year-old or 50-year-old stars of yesteryear in this game. They're people that young people know now. What do you think, Willie? Do you want to take a chance at it and see if you can name that you could admit that you know five of the 22? Or do we skip it?
Do you have the roster? I definitely know five of the 22. No doubt about it.
Okay, I'll make it easy. I'm going to go from the bottom on one of the teams. Rome Flynn. Just say yes, I know, or not.
No.
Tucker Halpern.
No.
Mickey Guyton.
Nope.
I did know her. She's a country music singer. Well, I'm not going to say star. Actor Danny Ramirez. I'll even give you what they are. No? Alicia Gray.
Yeah, of course.
Okay. Well, then
my favorite player in the WNBA.
Baron Davis.
Yeah.
Dylan Wang, actor. So you've got two so far.
No, I know who Danny Ramirez is.
Oh, you did? Okay, so that's three. Masai Russell.
No.
Hurdler. Pablo Schreiber.
No.
Noah Kahan? No. That's the worst part here. I'm mispronouncing names. And then it just says streamer, Kai Sanat.
He's big time.
Okay.
He was just, you know what's crazy? He was just at the Super Bowl. He did that flag football. It was Team Kai, the celebrity flag football game that the local girl was in.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, and he's got, I looked up some of them, that he had 7 million followers on YouTube. Let's
ridiculous.
See. You're at four.
Yeah.
Here we go. Other roster, Drewski.
Yep.
Comedian.
He was a guest referee at that flag.
Shabuzi.
Yeah.
Okay. So you got it. You beat me.
Rikea.
Matt Barnes is in the game.
Matt Barnes.
Terrell Owens is in the game, so I knew that one. So there you go. Famous celebrities of today. Up today.
I'm surprised they didn't invite you or Adam.
Maybe when we get a team here in Vegas and there's an all-star game, I'm sure we'll be the coaches like Barry Bonds and Jerry Rice.
That would be dope.
Two megastars in the market.
That would be dope.
Yeah, not so much. That would be dopey, right? That was an Uncle Steve joke. Mm-hmm. I saw that Shaq, speaking of the NBA, I saw that Shaq got a raise. I think Shaq getting a raise is worse than Jimmy Butler getting a raise. Griffin, describe what happened in recent days with Shaq.
Yeah, so the last episode, I believe it was, of Inside the NBA on TNT, I remember I saw a clip of it on social media. They were signing off, and Shaq just goes buck wild, drops an S-bomb, then followed up by an F-bomb, basically telling Ernie, you know, hey, F it. You know, we're getting fired anyway. I don't give a S, to quote Marshawn Lynch. So he's just throwing caution in the wind, and okay, despite that TNT is rewarding him with $5 million more.
A couple days later, extension, 15 mil per season for Shaq to do NBA analysis, Willie. Jimmy Butler got bumped from, I think he got bumped up another $20 million on his deal after he threw a fit in Miami and then kind of got his way getting a chance to go to GSW and play with Steph Curry.
I don't have a problem with it. Considering all the endorsements that this guy's got and the megastar that he's turned into, and on top of it, I mean, we're talking about a guy who, like, with car insurance, with the general sleep apnea mask.
Right, then he should work for a discount.
Why? If Stephen A. Smith could demand and hold out and make such a big stink about his popular his presence on ESPN and whatever this first take, why not? Shaq is just as big of a personality on that NBA for that show.
No,
Stephen
not.
A, you're crazy. You're out.
You're crazy.
Who's
Stephen
bigger?
Stephen A is on every bigger.
I said
Shaq.
On
he's
that
7'2", 350.
I said on that show. We're talking comparisons. I'm not saying he's bigger than Stephen A. On that show, he's like Stephen A on First Take. Who's bigger? Barkley, Kenny, or Ernie? No, I say it's Shaq.
Now Barkley's bigger on that show.
Nah, I say Shaq's personality.
And I think day to day impact, Stephen A has more impact on the sports television world. The sports
100%.
Talker world?
Yes, because it's every single day.
I don't dislike Shaq. But what I'm building towards here is this. There have been some discussions. I don't know if they're going to get any legs. We actually had this discussion with Dan Orlovsky, right? Name drop. Media Row. And we were asking, actually it was JVT, because JVT is a hoop head, and he likes hardcore breakdown of basketball. And John said, hey, you know, in the NBA, should they be doing more stuff on TV like you guys do on NFL TV, which is break down more plays, like really cover the games and the ins and outs? I'm not saying Shaq and Barkley are the guys to do it. And this also, I'll piggyback this with, I thought J.J. Redick made a good statement back in December, and he's like, why doesn't much of the media that is partnered with the NBA cover the games and the action on the floor instead of crapping all over the game all the time? Like, where's the enthusiasm for today's game? Where are the X's and O's? Now, the answer could be, hey, there's no market for that. I don't believe that. But I know Shaq and Barkley, they're not going to change. And frankly, I think what they do is entertaining, and them fighting each other is funny. But it's not really building the game, is it? In a positive way?
So they're always hating on the game is what he's saying?
I think J.J. Redick is frustrated with the way the NBA is covered by the biggest personalities and also the way it was covered when he was part of the media. And I think he tried to be a little bit smarter and nuanced and break down plays. But
he was an analyst.
Yeah.
Okay, well, you're supposed to be non-biased and you're supposed to be critical.
Well, they're not analysts. You could never go to the screen and like start breaking down plays. Like, Shaq, let's break down some post play here. Let's have a knowledge of, like, someone sneaky on a roster, an eighth man who's actually really key to what a team does.
But that's not their shtick.
Okay, well, then that's what he's saying. Maybe there's too much of that shtick instead of actual basketball.
Okay, so, well, I think that I guess I get what he's saying, but that's what they do. But they also, I don't think that they completely are taking away from it and crapping on the game or crapping on the teams. I think that that's their stick as to breaking it down. Just like with women's basketball, when they go back to the studio and you got Chinne Agumike and Andrea Carter,
right,
and they're breaking it down, when they have to be critical, they're just doing it in their style. So Shaq and that's just the way that's.
So why don't Shaq and Barkley do more of what Agumike and now I just blanked on the other name.
Andrea Carter.
Yeah, Andrea Carter. And I like what they do.
Because their repertoire is not hating on each other, and then all of a sudden one says the other, and they start threatening each other. That's not what they do. He's asking them to break character and just go straight-laced analysis. That's not what they've come to do. When it's on game day and they go at halftime, they break down the games, they talk about the game. But everything else, it's a show. It's entertainment. That's what it's been built up as.
Yeah. Well, I've said it before with Barkley being part of the college basketball, the NCAA tournament covers. I don't find it entertaining, but, you know, to each his own. It's an outsider coming in and not prepared and whatever. I think the message being sent is that they believe most of the audience is too stupid to absorb actual basketball talk, which I think is sad.
That's your interpretation.
Yes.
Okay.
I don't know if you noticed at the top of Twitter now, they'll have summaries on developing stories and the way stories are being covered. So Twitter had a summary suggesting that there is no excitement for this NBA All-Star weekend. I don't know that is the site to really gauge interest in the NBA.
Where is this at?
On Twitter. You can find, I don't know. Yeah, half the stuff that comes up on Twitter, I don't even know how I get it. But there will be story summaries.
Okay.
And if you look below on our rundown, I have some of the summary in here. One says, 2025 NBA All-Star Weekend held in San Francisco has introduced a new tournament style format to rejuvenate interest, but it appears to not have fully captured the public's attention.
Yeah.
Another one, while there was significant buzz around exclusive events like the Grateful Dead NBA collection launch at Pier 39, the overall engagement from fans has been lackluster. I mean,
I know what you're talking about.
Is that gauging the comments on Twitter? I mean, Twitter is a very different animal than lots of other places, and I don't know that Twitter is where a lot of teens, 20s, and 30-somethings who might like the NBA are going to stay around for very long.
You're knocking this new style of putting the summarization?
No, I like the summary. Oh. I just don't know how reliable it is.
I know what it is.
I don't know. Yeah, the site Outkick.
Right.
Like, hey, let's do an NBA poll on Doc Travis's Outkick. Yeah. You're not going to get good feedback because the site generally is smashing the NBA.
Right.
And talking about ratings going down and audiences shrinking. And then, you know, we read that for 4 years. And then all of a sudden the NBA is like, well, you know, ratings are, it's tough. You're right, guys. But we're going to sign with four networks for $80 zillion. And we're going to tell TNT initially to kick rocks. But yeah, the game's struggling. Like, who do you believe?
Right. It's realistically, it's an AI summary. I now have it on this.
Yeah, yeah.
They've now started doing this on Cox.com, switched its mail server over to Yahoo. So now everything that you have with your Cox internet or whatever, it goes through Yahoo.
Right.
Now when you go to, when you get a new email, it gives you an AI summary. When I do my otter, when I do my transcription, like if I'm done with Bruce Cassidy or one of the Golden Knights or a Raider or an Ace, it finished transcribing it. Before you open it, it gives you a summary. Speaker one spoke about this, blah, 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 and it summarizes everything for you. That's okay. The new thing. So I don't have a problem with it. The problem I have with is if they start doing it too. We talked about this earlier. You were asking about aggregation and whether or not they're putting up false narratives just for the creators that are doing it. There are sites that are doing that for clicks.
Of course.
And so if you're getting the summarization for that, that's where things are going to start getting misled, and
yep,
that's where problems arise. And so that part I do have an issue with.
Like Griffin this week sent over a story that was quoting JP Football. That Twitter handle is absolute garbage. It is an aggregator. Now, you can get some of your news from it, but you need to then follow up and see what the original source was, because none of them say, very rarely do they actually give the source. But, you know, that's where we are right now. I will say the story I read, the summary, did stumble upon what I thought was a pretty interesting story, and this is red meat for the Twitter audience, and that was Caitlin Clark is not part of the three-point contest, Willie, in the NBA All-Star Weekend. Mm. Rob Parker, who is still doing radio on Fox Sports Radio, ripped Caitlin Clark and said, how can she say no to the three-point contest when the WNBA wouldn't even be around if it wasn't for the NBA? They have subsidized that league forever. Ratings this year, right? Guess how much money the WNBA lost this past year? $50 million. even with Caitlin Clark and her numbers. So the least she could do, or at least she could have done, was done a solid for her brothers in the NBA, which I find very interesting. The WNBA is still failing and losing money, but she owes it to the NBA, which apparently the NBA for the three-point contest needs Caitlin Clark from a failing league.
Right. I read the comment. Rob Parker is trying to create and stir with a logical sort of statement, but Caitlin Clark does not owe the NBA brethren anything and should have to show up to shoot in the three-point contest. Sorry, I do not agree at all. If she doesn't want to compete in the three-point contest, she doesn't have to. She shouldn't feel pressured to do so. Now, guess what? If that's the feeling and the NBA is subsidizing off of the WNBA's loss, guess what? The WNBA players wanted specific things in the next CBA. We talked about that earlier, all these one-year deals that are coming up. Well, then Big Brother can step in and say, okay, with your CBA, since we're subsidizing and you want this, we also want a commitment in terms of presence for All-Star Weekend and specific events leading up to the WNBA season. That could be something that could be. But right now, sorry, they don't owe anybody anything.
Yeah.
Not individually.
Well, I'll also say for Team Caitlin, they've played this really smart by basically ignoring the Big Three invite from Ice Cube, the three-point invite last year for the NBA, the three-point invite this year. Because, Willie, you know what would happen. This is, for Caitlin Clark in the NBA three-point shooting contest, it's a 99.9% lose-lose proposition. If she flops, then she gets destroyed. If she wins and they do it like they did it with, that was Enescu last year who did it?
Sabrina Enescu against Stephen Curry.
But she did, didn't she do it with the WNBA ball? If we go back, I think she had special rules. If Caitlin Clark wins with the WNBA ball and the WNBA three-point line, the win doesn't count. That's what social media is going to say.
Oh,
she can't win.
No, there's
going to be. She wins, she loses, she loses, she loses.
It's going to, no matter what they do, no matter, she participates, if she participates, she wins, she loses, whatever it is, it's going to get crapped on. Just like, and I'm not just bringing this up because of who it is, but just like the day after the Super Bowl, the flag football commercial, as good as it was, the message that was being sent, of course, the majority are crapping over a 17-year-old girl and dogging her for the NFL's idea. And in reality, the message was not let girls participate against the boys in tackle football because they could beat them. It was legalize, or that's not the right word, put varsity sports in all 50 states. Put flag football and varsity sports in all 50 states. But that got crapped all over off to something that was really good. It was a really good message.
Now, let me go back to the summary that I talked about the NBA All-Star Weekend not appealing to everyone. I do like what they're doing for Sunday, because here's the thing, and we've talked about this before. You can't have big events, whatever they are, big sporting events, big sporting leagues, elections, right? And keep telling people they're stupid over and over and over. My response to it is, hey, the NBA is not everyone's cup of tea. But you can't just keep saying, hey, they're just old people. They don't get it. They always hate the NBA. Like, you do have to make sure that you, number one, appeal strongly to your audience that you do have. Mm-hmm. And then maybe make some inroads with a new audience. And I did find it interesting, the story you sent over about talks with the players. Like, guys, you got to try. When you play in these All-Star weekends, you got to try.
Yeah, I actually heard that from the morning show, the same tweet. So I went and found the tweet because I thought it was interesting. Chris Haynes tweets out, the league and players union to meet together with players on Sunday prior to All-Star game to highly stress the importance of competing for fans and for the business. Basically play defense.
Yep.
Like it used to be, right? It's just like every year when the Pro Bowl comes up, we see the highlights from old Pro Bowls and defensive backs laying out wide receivers when the game was in Hawaii every single year. It's just completely gotten away from that. So, you know, make it a little competitive. You want to have fun? Yeah, that's fine. But, I mean, you think about the one-on-one situations we had the year that Magic came out after he announced he was HIV positive. He comes back. The year that they cleared the floor, it was Kobe versus Michael, Michael versus Magic, whatever. I mean, they at least had showed some sort of competitiveness. And it got to the fourth quarter, and you'd see leads of 15, 20 points dissipate, and all of a sudden we had a fourth quarter coming down to the final couple of minutes. So I think that's what they want to get back to.
Willie Cofield, Treasure Island, Golden Circle Sports Book and Bar here on a Friday. We come back, we'll get the roundup of the week around the NFL. The Raiders is behind the patch. Raiders insider and, of course, part of the company. Adam Hill is on the way.
Psst. I see dead people.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live from the Golden Circle Sports Book and Bar inside Treasure Island.
Everybody knows that Jason is the better Kelce. We're sending Patrick back home, nothing you could tell me. About to strangle us a goat, let them know. Swift tears to their eyes, make them cry while we hit the celly. Big Red, you know we love you in this town, but nobody wants to see you win again. Your time's up, this is the end, now it's time for revenge. Thought that you would never see us here again, yeah, now what? 2 years, but it's feeling like it took forever.
5 o'clock hour, Golden Circle Sports Book and Bar. Adam Hill is in behind the patch. Willie's with us. It's Cofield and Company. It's not too bad, right, Adam?
Oh, it's not great. It's okay. Fine.
Okay.
The beat is good. It sounds familiar.
Sure. Some early recap of the parade today. It did appear that Nick Sirianni had a crescent-shaped wound on his head, like he had taken a beer to the dome, and... two people were shot, and it looks like the shooting may have started because one of the victims actually was trying to cut line at a porta potty.
Well, yeah, that'll get you angry. I thought it was Howie Roseman that took the beer, not Sirianni, but maybe he did too. I'm sure they all did. I think the highlights were, you know, Saquon recognizing the team employee.
Yep.
In the crowd and pulling them over and bringing them into the parade. And then also the cops reenacting the brotherly shove on the street and, like, tumbling onto each other. Jeez. That was pretty solid.
Okay. All right. So overall, pretty good. It looked like it turned out a ton of people. No one does a parade. You know I love parades, especially this kind of parade. No one turns out for a parade like Philly.
Sure. Parades are stupid, but go ahead and have them. That's fine.
It's a celebration. Okay, so before I get to some philosophical media discussions, debates, let's talk about some of the stories of the week around the Raiders. One is, we don't know what's going on at quarterback. What did you think of what the Jets did with Rodgers, and would the Raiders be a spot for Rodgers to be a rent-a-QB?
Well, I mean, you said the story of the week is the Raiders don't have a quarterback. I think the story of the last, 12 years?
Yes.
They don't have a quarterback? Mm-hmm. So, I think Aaron Rodgers is going to be an interesting name to watch for sure. I do think that there's questions that need to be asked about what is going on with Rodgers and the Jets, because I find it very interesting that part of, you know, what came out from the story is that they don't like the fact that he does Pat McAfee every week. And it's on a Tuesday. It's his off day. It's not a big deal. I don't think it's a problem at all. I think there's got to be other things at play. Like, how much time is he spending, you know, helping produce the show when he's not on the show? How much time is he calling, is he calling in? How much behind the scenes is he giving them that they then use on the air? Like, I think it's more about his, planning his next career than it is just doing the show. It has to be, because it'd be kind of stupid to not want him to do the show on his off day when it doesn't take up any of the team time or anything like that. So what is the real issue? That's what I would want to know, and I don't know any of those things. I'm just saying that's what I would want to ask to people around the Jets and people familiar with the situation before I jumped into bed with Aaron Rodgers. I mean, look, he's a really good quarterback. We saw some high-end throws last year. We also saw some nightmares. Usually the second year back after Achilles is your best year. There's reason to think that he might be okay. I don't know that he's the right fit with the Raiders, who I think are more than one player away from competing, but... if he still wants to play and he doesn't care about winning a title, maybe. I think they're also going to draft somebody, and does he want to be a mentor? That's the other question.
Does he or does this organization, Adam, is it better suited with all the pieces to the puzzle or missing pieces? Is it better suited to bring in a veteran that can jump right in with veteran coaches, or do they want a young, impressionable, coachable kid, whether it be a draftee or a third, fourth year, you know, a younger guy?
Steve, what's the famous sports pig line?
Yep.
Both.
Yep.
Like I think both. Yeah, I mean, I think you want to bring in a veteran, and probably Pete Carroll wants a veteran to be the stabilizer, the guy that can, you know, be a leader and, you know, implement what he wants to do on the field. And I think they also, it's imperative that they draft somebody. I think they have to do that. I think they have to get their quarterback of the future. And, like, Aiden O'Connell, to me, I mean, I know it sucks to hear it for some people. Like, I thought from day one he was a prototypical number three quarterback.
Right.
Like, he's great in that role. He's so good in the locker room. He's such a good presence. He's a good leader. He's a great studier, communicator, like all those things. Like, he's a prototypical number three. And so if he is your number three next year, I think you're in a great spot.
Willie, I feel like you're holding back on the Rodgers thing, because first of all, you said the Raiders aren't good enough for Rodgers to consider them, and you also said that you don't think Rodgers could handle Vegas.
I don't. I don't think that Rodgers is the right fit here. I wasn't asking Adam that as far as should they bring in Rodgers. It was a veteran guy. Should they bring someone else in? Like, the topics have come up. Should Pete Carroll reunite with Russell Wilson? Should he reunite with Geno Smith? Those conversations have continued to take place. I still stand on what I said earlier. I don't think that it's the right fit. I don't think that Aaron Rodgers in this town and where he's at and what he's gone through, it just in general, I just don't know if it's the right fit. I don't know. He's a big handle, right? And yes, you're talking about a seasoned veteran coach who's been around and, as you said, is not going to take any crap. But nevertheless, Aaron Rodgers is still going to come in and be him. So I just don't know if he's the right fit, and I don't see it. I like my suggestion earlier today better than Aaron Rodgers. Not that he's the savior of the franchise, but I like him as the young number two if you were to bring in a leader and a mentor for him, and that would be DTR, because of the talk that Aaron is supposed to go visit Cleveland, and that just keeps him down at number three when he was just a starter 2 years ago. This is his hometown, and his college coach is the OC. Why not?
Greetings with silence.
You're asking me why not? I mean, look, I don't hate the idea. I don't know if that's, you know, the name that comes to mind. I mean, I was, if I'm going in a route of younger, developmental, still player with talent that can run, I'd be more in the Justin Fields camp, I think. But
I love that idea too. I actually do. Yeah. Like, and when we talked earlier, Steve, when you brought up Trevor, we were talking with Trevor Lawrence on a different issue. I said the three that come to mind from that class, that high school class: Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, Dorian Thompson-Robinson. They all went to Elite 11 together. They graduated at the same time. That, I mean, that's that right there. That's a good class.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't mind a guy like Justin Fields. I just think it's important. Like, to me, if I'm the Raiders, I'm bringing in a veteran and I'm drafting somebody. I'm doing both, and I'm starting my quarterback room there with, you know, two, you know, a veteran, a rookie, and Aiden O'Connell are my three that I'm going into camp with. And, you know, I'm pretty excited about it. Like I said, if you go into camp with Aiden O'Connell as your number three quarterback, I think you're very excited about the future of that room for the Raiders.
But if he's number two?
Maybe not so much.
Yep.
But look, it's also not the end of the world. Like, he's fine. He's not going to take you to the next level. He's not going to elevate you, all those things. Like, he's fine. He's, you know, a guy that if you need him to play a game or two here, here and there, like, could he win it for you? Yeah, probably, and he's probably not going to lose it for you, and those are good things to have in a backup or a number three quarterback. Like, you know, not that many teams have that kind of luxury. But I do think you need to take a couple of bites at the apple in terms of who's going to be the guy that steps up and develops and kind of takes over that job and tries to take you to the next level.
Have you heard any conversations around the Raiders? And I know access is very limited right now, but you're connected. Adam Hill is with us. Any conversations that maybe there's a point where they would be interested in Sam Darnold? Because I cannot imagine they would be interested in investing, you know, $100 million over 3 or 4 years with like 50 or 60 guaranteed. Is there a point where the Darnold market is low enough where they consider him at that kind of mid-level to low starting quarterback salary?
Yeah, I think yes. I mean, it's literally the exact conversation that I had on a podcast this morning of, look, do the Raiders want Sam Darnold? Probably not. But if you start saying, hey, there's no market for him, and he's out there and, you know, he's willing to take, you know, 20, okay, start to have that conversation. But if there really is a market potentially for him to make 35, I mean, I heard $40 million, absolutely not. Like, you can't do that. You just can't. That's not living in reality to me for where you are as a team. Now, again, if he sits there on the market and he's available and the price keeps dropping, I think you absolutely have to kick the tires and think about it and maybe make that decision. But not at top dollar, not at, you know, the top of what Sam Darnold would have been making after week 15. Like, that's not the same situation we're in now.
Adam Hill from the RJ, part of the company. What other possibilities are out there? You mentioned early on Marcus Mariota, and I feel like he's kind of looming as like another option if there was going to be a bridge quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be shocked by that one at all. Obviously, he's been here before. He's been with Chip Kelly before. I think that's a guy who's a veteran that could help you out in that kind of way. So that would be one name to watch potentially. I don't think Geno Smith is crazy to think about if he is, you know, somehow gone from Seattle, if they've moved on.
Geno?
That'd be a name to watch for sure. I mean, it wouldn't be the most exciting thing to me, I don't think. But, yeah. he's a guy that, you know, can win at this level. And another guy that I think would be good as a mentor to be a bridge quarterback that helps a new quarterback along. So, I mean, those are names that are out there. After talking to as many people as I've talked to, you know, around the Super Bowl and going forward, I don't see the Russell Wilson thing. Even though I kind of felt, I kind of bought into the Russell Wilson side of things, and, you know, he sounds like he'd be willing to do it, and he really wants to do it. I don't think the Pete Carroll side is as interested as the Russell Wilson side.
You do these podcasts, and I listen to shows and podcasts about the Raiders. Are you asked about, no, do you hear this comment? This guy matches the Chip Kelly offense. What is the Chip Kelly offense? I don't really know what it is because he's been all over the place.
Yeah, he's done a lot of different things. I mean, I think that's fair. I mean, I think you go back and look at what he ran, you know, what he ran a lot of times in college, especially, you know, early in his college career before the NFL stint. You look at, you know, what he did in the NFL, it's different. I mean, I think he's worked with a lot of different quarterbacks. I think he can figure it out. I think it's more just, you know, spreading out, creating matchups, that kind of thing that, you know, really matters. You know, I know a lot of people like to look at it as the mobile, you know, the mobile quarterback being the Chip Kelly guy. But I think you can do it in a lot of different ways. I mean, like to mention Mariota from before, there's an absolute nightmare developing in New Haven, Connecticut right now. To mention what happened before, what we were talking about, like Marcus Mariota is talked about because he is the guy that's looked at as like the prototypical kind of Chip Kelly guy. But I think Chip Kelly has shown that he can, you know, he can evolve and coach a lot of different ways, a lot of different types of quarterbacks.
Not only do you do a lot of podcasts, you are known as the Mock Draft King. I want to know, first of all, how many number you're up to, how many you plan on doing, and what is the one that the reader is going to go, that is completely the most outlandish one the reader's going to see, but the one that you're looking at going, no, this could really happen?
I mean, I think it's pretty bizarre a little bit. Maybe that I got, you know, I do have one coming out Sunday, and I'm actually in the middle of writing it right now as we're speaking, so I'm just kind of scrolling through it. Tyler Warren going top 10 I think would be pretty surprising to people, but I definitely think it's a possibility. A tight end from Penn State who's just, you know, capable of being a game changer, and I kind of think, you know, you could have two tight ends in the top 15, which would be wild to say, you know, a year ago, but Brock Bowers maybe changed some opinions of whether you can make that kind of thing work with the right kind of tight end. I still don't think it's the right thing to do, but I think teams are copycat teams. They saw what Brock Bowers did, and maybe they decide this is possible. This is something that could happen. And, you know, even though I don't know that there's a first-round prospect in terms of the quarterbacks in this draft, you know, maybe having three in the first round, which hasn't been done in a whole lot of mock drafts, I think is very possible as well, and could have something to do with somebody we mentioned earlier. You know, could Seattle take a quarterback in the first round and potentially make Geno expendable? We should see.
Right. Okay. Philosophical discussion between the three of us. going back to the MVP vote, Josh Dubow did a nice job of tweeting out who votes for the MVP. His timing was impeccable because then, of course, every name on the list was shredded as not being legitimate. I saw a tweet earlier this week. So this goes back to the Lamar Jackson, Allen, I think Barkley, that whole controversy and what the MVP is and what the best player is. But your pal Jared Lee Smith over at Bet MGM or MGM, whatever it's called now, he said a major red flag I see with NFL awards going forward is that there is an MVP voter currently employed by the biggest sportsbook in the country. So I retweeted it, and I'm like, can we just name names? And then I DM'd him, and he wouldn't say. And then I looked down Dubow's list, and I was like, oh, Kay Adams. Just say Kay Adams, right? So it's Kay Adams at FanDuel. So we need to address that. And then I'm watching this morning, Adam. I guess this was like a parting shot on their way out before a week of vacation. I'm watching Good Morning Football, and Pete Schrager makes mention of, we don't have votes at NFL Network, but someone who works for a sportsbook does. And I'm like, just say Kay Adams. What are we doing? And let's have the discussion. But then I also thought, hey, Pete, I don't know that you should have a vote. So on this whole thing, can we start with the sportsbook thing first? Because this is something we've talked about a lot. The visual of improprieties and conflicts of interest.
Yeah. I mean, yes, 100%. But I don't think that should happen. And I do, I'd like, in a way, what they did in terms of voting, in terms of kind of spreading it out a little bit, you know, not just traditional media, but we are in a whole new world and a whole new media cycle. And, you know, a lot of more people have voices, and that's a good thing.
Right.
But there are those, you know, things like that. Like, if you are employed, if your main paycheck is coming from a sports book who may have to have liability to one of the voters, you know, one of the awards that you're voting on, like, whether there's impropriety or not, whether they're saying who to vote for or not, which I would 1,000,000% wager that they're not telling her who to vote for, it's about the image of it. It's about it's about the appearance of impropriety that could potentially exist and the potential conflict of interest that you just can't have. So I don't believe for a second that there's anything shady going on with that. But it looks like it could. So you can't have that happen. I mean, what if it's one vote? What if it comes down to one vote and, you know, the sportsbook makes an extra $4 million on one player over the other, and, you know, that's the swinging vote. And it had nothing to do with being told to do it. It just so happened to fall that way. You don't want to be in that situation. By the way, one of the behind-the-scenes guy on McAfee has a vote as well. They are no longer, I believe. Well, I guess they are, because ESPN Bet is a sportsbook.
Yep. Unless that's the other problem here, is that so many people who could have a vote have some sort of connection to a sportsbook. So I think they're going to have to – I think they're going to have to go wild, wild west, and really they're not going to worry about the improprieties, or they're really going to lock this down, and a lot of people are going to be shut out.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the issue, right, is like how do you determine it? Because, like, should an ESPN writer have – from the beginning we said ESPN shouldn't be involved in the sports bet side, but, you know, that's what it is. And so if you take it away from Kay Adams, which, again, I don't believe she's being wrong, but I do think she should not have a vote – like, if you take it away from her just because she's directly employed by a sports book, where do you then draw the line? Like, I don't know. I don't know what it would be, where you would do it or where you would draw it. Or, like, if ESPN Bet is separate from ESPN, the journalism side, okay. But is it really that far removed when the journalists are then getting, like, promo codes and promo parlays with their names on them? Like, I don't know. I mean, that doesn't seem like it should happen. But I think that we're in this huge crossover world where it's tough to even know who's funding who. But the direct employment thing probably should be a disqualifier.
Should, to the other issue, and these guys are complaining about it, should Pete Schrager and Kyle Brandt, working for NFL Network, have votes?
I mean, I would think no. But again, that's I think is enough of a gray area that I think we've just kind of accepted. Yeah. In recent times. I don't know that we should, but that's not the direct, you know, conflict of interest that, you know, the other ones are. Although you could say it's in the NFL Network's best interest to drum up interest in these sorts of things. And then, you know, how do you do that? By, you know, controversially voting, by, you know, making votes that shouldn't happen, and then giving us stuff to talk about for 2 weeks. I mean, I don't know. I guess it would be tough to draw that distinction.
Yeah, and as we know on our side, Adam, with the hockey, when we vote PHWA awards, NHL.com writers and broadcasters, they have nothing to do with that voting that we do. So anyway, we appreciate you jumping in, and we know there's 7 seconds left. Yale 72, Penn 71. So we got to let you go so you can watch the end of this game, because I know you're going crazy.
We were up 14. It's down to one with 7 seconds.
Trust
me,
I know, because I like the under in this game. So
ridiculous banked three-pointer from like 35 feet to beat the shot clock.
Cofield and Company presents Grab Bag on ESPN Las Vegas.
Stick your hand in there, dude.
So we got Dan here. He just walked away. Dan, you've been down here, right, Willie, when Dan has stopped by with the cookies?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. He just brought us fresh, hot cookies. And the great thing is, listener Dan goes, dude, eat it now. Don't put it in your bag for a road trip and eat it a week from now. I'm like, wow, I really talk about that enough on the show. I actually had a, there was an Uncrustable that I opened the other day, Griffin, after like 6 days, and I was like, giddy up. But this is, these are hot cookies from the Starbucks here. Listener Dan has hooked us up like 5 times. What a beautiful man. In the bag?
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
Okay, Willie. You asked me earlier about Valentine's Day. Mm-hmm. Here's what we're doing. Nothing big tonight, but tomorrow is dinner and then baby face at the Palms.
Oh.
Exactly. Wow. Now, did I come up with the idea for baby face? No, I did not. Did I buy the tickets? I think I did. I don't know. But, yeah. Baby face.
Do you have
How good is that going to be?
Do you have that whip appeal?
I don't know. I know this. We're going to get some Italian, so the SO is going to get the brusho.
We're in after the date.
It's subtle. You don't even have to say it. But yeah. You know what I was saying there.
Of course.
Hey, here's some brusho.
Forget about.
Back in the bag.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
Dan threw me off. Dan was thanking us for doing the late night podcast, so you were a big part of that. And he said, appreciate you doing shows over the years. So that means a lot. I'm getting sniffly. Okay. Griffin, I tweeted at you about my TV rant yesterday. You did see what happened, right?
Yep. Yeah. YouTube TV looks like, I swear these companies and these people are listening to Cofield and Company because we are the voice of the people.
Willie, I opened for 9 minutes yesterday flipping out that YouTube and Paramount couldn't come to a deal. It was going to be pulled today, CBS Sports Network, and all the Paramount stuff is going to be pulled from YouTube TV. And when I got the email and I heard more about it yesterday at like 1 o'clock, cancel across the board. I'm out. So I just canceled them.
Wow.
And then 7 hours later, they're like, we're back. And I'm like, I'm not. So.
You're done.
I'm going to see if I can survive. We pay for like almost every other app. I think I can piece it together. I'll be fine. So I'm tired of being screwed with by TV Goliaths. Hell no, we won't. No, I did go. I dropped it. Back in the bag.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
Is there a one-on-one tournament that just is going on? What's going on here with Unrivaled?
Mid-season tournament. Yeah, so the middle of the season, they did a one-on-one with the winner walking away with $200,000.
What?
And then everybody on that person's team, the Mist, the Owls, the Laces, whatever team they're from, they get $25,000. Well, co-founder Nafisa Collier, who could win the MVP next year, she just won it over Aliyah Edwards. Best 2 out of 3, 8-0 skunk in the decisive third game. $200,000 to Nafisa Collier.
Ah, oh, nice. Willie, where are they getting all this money, and have they actually gotten viewers? Have they gotten some numbers?
Yeah, the numbers are up.
Wow.
We'll touch upon that next week because we'll get more numbers. But they are, they've got some really big-time investors. Big time. Major.
Griffin, good job. Happy Valentine's Day. Love you, buddy. Willie, love you too. Happy Valentine's Day. Everyone out there, if you're looking for a spot to hang at, Treasure Island, a great set of restaurants here like Phil's Steakhouse. Got a great pizza joint in Francesco's. Of course, Gillies with the Gillies girls. That's a good Valentine's Day treat over the weekend, right? Hang with them. And right here at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar, thanks to Treasure Island, Mr. Ruffin, for housing the show. Good job back in the Finley Toyota studio. Have a good weekend, everybody.